Praise the Lord. We hope the day finds you blessed, and we want to ask the Lord to anoint our teaching for today. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, anoint our lips, anoint our thoughts, anoint your word, accomplish in the hearts and the lives of the believer, draw the sinner, reclaim the backslider, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We want to take as a topic for today wholeness. And this is not wholeness, as we say, a religion, but this is wholeness as the standard wherein God wants for his people. And we find in Isaiah in chapter 35 in verse 8, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of wholeness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein." This is that which the Lord speaks of, a highway called holiness. And then we go to 1 Thessalonians in the third chapter, picking up in verse 11 down through verse 13. "Now God himself, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our ways unto you, and the Lord make you to be increased and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you." Verse 13 says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." Now, he's going to be holy, and all that come to him must take on his holiness. For the Bible says all of our righteousness as filthy rags, we must take on the righteousness of Christ, and we must take on his holiness. Then in Hebrews in the 12th chapter and in verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our own profit, that he might be partakers of his holiness." And then we go to 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light." Now, all the scriptures and all the understanding of God is holy. And Jesus Christ is holy. And if we're going to serve him, we're going to have to make a change from the darkness that we walked in into the light. And that's what salvation does. It brings us out of darkness and brings us into the marvelous light. We're saved not by good works. You can't be good enough to get saved. I want to make that clear. We're saved by God's grace. But we're saved unto good works. We're saved that from the day we become born again by the Spirit of God, we're supposed to turn our back on sin and wickedness and ungodliness, and we're supposed to walk away from it and walk towards true wholeness and walk towards the fullness of the things that we have in God. We're a new creation now. We're not of the old sin nature anymore. We are of the God nature, which is after true holiness in the Lord. And if we don't desire, if you keep on cussing, I question where you got saved. You keep on drinking and smoking and taking drugs and everything else, I question where you got saved or not. I honestly do question if you have salvation. Because once you come to know the Lord, the old man has to be crucified, and a new nature takes forth in you, and it brings forth the righteousness of God within you. And that's the reason we don't go the places we used to do. That's the reason I can't be partakers in a lot of things that people say, well, I'm not convicted of it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You better go back and read the Word. You better go back and read the book. Because if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's sin, it's sin. If it's ungodliness, it's ungodliness. And I see a lot of people claiming to have salvation, but they're going the wrong direction. They're going the same old way that they used to before Jesus come in. And we must have a change take place in our life. And we must desire good works and good deeds and bring forth those things which are meat of repentance to show to the world that we're no longer in our sins. We're no longer in the world. And we've been changed. We've been set free. And we are full of the grace and of the Spirit of God. And, you know, we're supposed to show to the world and be His witness, His testimony of what's took place in our life. And if that's not took place, my friend, you've not been saved yet. You may have joined a church. You may give the preacher $200 a week. He's smiling all the way to his hip pocket with it. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you've been changed and take on the wholeness of God and the nature and the likeness of God, you are not saved and you have not been born again. When you become born again, the old things will go away. Jesus prayed in that, we covered it just in a few teachings back, about the sanctifying power of God in the 17th chapter of Gospel of St. John. How that Jesus prayed that prayer, Father, don't take them out of the world, leave them in the world, but sanctify them from the world. We're sanctified by the blood, the truth, the Spirit, and we're just totally changed by the working of grace in our life. So remember that. You're not in darkness anymore. You are in the marvelous light of the gospel. In 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, we want to cover verse 9 down through verse 14. A good bit of scripture here, but I think it's very important for what we're teaching on wholeness today. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but in longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that we should come to repentance. That's one of the keys of it there, that word repentance. God don't want any man to perish. He wants us to come to repentance. And if there is no repentance in your experience, you're still in sin and you're not saved. It takes being sorry for your sins, repenting of them, remitting them before God, and saying, I'm through with sin, and I want to repent, and I want to walk in the likeness of God's true wholeness. In verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All the filth of this world, all the things that man has created, I don't care what great mansion he's built, I don't care what great architectural design, the Lord with a consuming fire is going to consume all the elements of this earth and all the things on this earth, and they're going to be burned up. And then in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all conversation and godliness? Understand this plainly. All the elements are going to be dissolved. Now, what manner of person should we be in all holy conversation and in godliness? In verse 12, looking far and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God's going to do away with all of it. All these things are going to be gone. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promises, look for new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. In God's new heaven, there will be no sin. There will be no ungodliness. There will be none of these former things. They'll all be passed away, and God's going to burn all the elements up with a fervent heat, according to the promise of his word. In the last verse in this section of the third chapter of 2 Peter, in verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." That sounds like wholeness to me. We got to clean up our act. I'm telling you, church, we got to clean up our act. If we're going to God's heaven and we're going to dwell with him in that new city in New Jerusalem, we're going to have to get rid of all the transgressions, all the sins. He provided his blood for us. He became the propitiation, the price paid. And his precious blood will wash and cleanse us of all sin and all unrighteousness. All we got to do is ask him. So little on our part for such a great price that he paid for your and my salvation. Then we look in the Gospel of St. Luke in the first chapter, covering from verse 71 through verse 75. "That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised of our Father and to remember his holy covenant." And here's that covenant in verse 73. "The oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear." And verse 75. "In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Now, if we're going to be a partaker of this promise that was made to Abraham, we're going to have to come out into true holiness and righteousness, and we're going to have to serve him all the days of our life. We're going to have to, from the day that Jesus come in, make a change and take on the righteous nature of Christ. Not the old nature of man and sin, but the new nature of Christ and after the image and likeness of God. Now we come to our closing verse of scriptures in Hebrews, back in the 12th chapter. We was there earlier in this teaching today in verse 10, but now in verse 14 and 15. "Follow peace with all men and wholeness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of Christ, lest any root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, and thereby many be defiled." This is plain. There's no way to alter this. There's no way to change it. God has simply said by his word that there's many going to let an old root of bitterness spring up within them, and this root is going to cause them to be troubled, and it's going to cause many to be defiled. And the Bible says in Revelation, the 20th chapter, the books are going to be open, and there's going to be that day that God said he's going to judge the names out of the book. And those are the men and women that fail to accept the grace of God, fail to walk in the grace of God, fail to allow God to do the work in their life. So this substantiates us today that holiness is the way to heaven. And without wholeness, no man shall see the Lord. I can't make it any more plainer than that. That's not that you go join a holiness church. That's not legalism. That's the way of God's word, that without wholeness, no man shall see the Lord. And we must be holy as he is holy, and all about him is holy. So it's wholeness unto the Lord, and without wholeness, no man shall see the Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let this message, let this teaching today go into the hearts of men and women. Let them be stirred to shake themselves and to come forth and allow the Word of God to wash them, that they may come into true wholeness in the Lord. For you said, without wholeness no man shall see the Lord. And God, we want your wholeness in our lives. We want your grace and your mercy to abound in us. We want to walk in the fullness of your Spirit, and your will be done and accomplished in our lives in Jesus' name. Now save, deliver, set free, work miracles, give healing, give miracles to all that call upon your name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen.